The Bible says in Romans 8 this, "And we know that all things work together for the good of those who love him, for those who are called according to purpose." Now let me read the next verse and then I'll make a comment. "For those who God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son." So think about that verse right there and keep it up on the board. I want you to see this, and because I'm going to talk through it and tell you what was happening right before it. Right before it, Paul was saying, the whole creation is groaning, waiting for the last two chapters of the book. Everything is. The whole creation's groaning. Earthquakes and tidal waves and the earth. I mean, you know, the earth is going, why are y'all pumping all pollution up here again? You know what I mean? And reacting to that. And I mean, like, everything's groaning, right? Waiting for God to set everything back the way it was supposed to be, in peace and harmony. And then Paul says this, and not only creation, but also you are. You're groaning because you have people who sin against you, and you still have sin that you fight with inside your own heart. And so you're suffering, and people around you are suffering. There's conflict instead of peace, you know, angst instead of love, something other than the way it's supposed to be in your hearts and in your lives. And you are groaning too, waiting for God to straighten everything out, not only in the world, but in your own life. And then he says, but here's what we know, that God is working everything, including our brokenness, together for our good, for his glory and our good, to those who are called according to his purpose. For those whom God foreknew, that is his church from before the foundation of the world, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of who? Absolutely, to Jesus. Listen, here's what our problem is, isn't it? Our problem is that I want to be conformed to a guy a little bit better than me. Does that make sense? Oh, man, I wish I had a marriage like old so-and-so's. You know, I mean, we're constantly trying to conform ourselves to another person. Or here's another thing that we're trying. I tell you what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to be the best version of myself. Like, well, like, who do you have? What's your measuring stick? Well, myself. And, well, what do you mean yourself? I mean, you know, just a little bit better version of me tomorrow. And, well, what exactly does that mean? And, well, what that means is that, you know, I fought with my wife twice last week. I'd like to fight with her 1.5 times next week. I mean, and we don't even know what we mean by it, and that's not what God said he was going to do. He didn't say that I'm going to leave you now that I've come to you in this place where everything's broken and you're all at each other. He didn't say I'm going to leave you alone. I'm going to come to you, and I'm not going to ask you to go figure it out on your own. I'm going to point you to Jesus, and I'm going to conform you to his image, because his image is your image. And the next verse shows it this way. "And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ." And Christ, say it out loud, is the image of God. So who's the image of God? The Lord Jesus. Who was created? Whose image was I created in? I was created in the image of the Lord Jesus. And I fell from that image. And now God sticks Jesus out here. And he doesn't say, look in the mirror of your and figure it out how to be a better version of you. But look at Jesus, the guy who you were created. The reason you're not at peace within yourself is not because you're not a better version of yourself. It's because you haven't been conformed to the image of the one who created you, the Lord Jesus. And so, it says, "For we proclaim, for what we complain is proclaim is not of ourselves, but Jesus Christ is Lord. with ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, has shown in our hearts to give us the light of what? The knowledge of the glory of God in the face of who? Yes. In other words, here's God's solution. Here's how God's going to fix me. Here's how God's going to redeem my suffering and my sin. I'm going to blow it, and he's going to show me what marriage was intended to look like. But he's going to show me how Jesus, the great husband, treated his wife, the church. And I'm going to look to Jesus and see how to be a better husband, not for me to straighten my own act by looking to myself. I don't know where to go. Jesus is where to go. Jesus is the way. And so, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says it this way. But we all, with unveiled faces, now that we can see our Lord Jesus, beholding as in a mirror, what are we beholding as in a mirror? The glory of who? Which is who? Jesus. We're being transformed into that same image, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So here's how it works out in real life. This is a little assignment that I give some people. So I'm being conformed to the image of Jesus. So what I need to do is to be pointed to Jesus to figure stuff out. So if you take 1 Corinthians 13 and you just take each of the phrases, there's 16, by the way. And you just do, look at Jesus, and then conform yourself to his image, and it takes the stress away. So let me show you how it works. So here's 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 and following. And I'll just do it and show you how to do it. You can do it at home by yourself and break out all the phrases and do it as a homework assignment. Jesus' love is patient to me. Therefore, I can be patient with my wife. Jesus is kind. Indeed, his kindness has led me to repentance. And I can be kind because Jesus has been kind to me. Jesus isn't easily offended. And so I can, like Jesus, not be easily offended. I'm looking at, like, how are you supposed to be? Well, these people are all offending me, and I'm sick and tired of being treated like crap. And so that's not what it says. It says that the image, you won't feel peace if you say that. You'll still feel the chaos in your soul because it's not aligned with the image. It's not garden stuff. Garden stuff is we're not easily offended because Jesus wasn't easily offended. And when he was persecuted, remember? And when he was treated bad, remember, he offered not a word and retaliated not, but he trusted himself to the one who judges justly. That's the image. That's the image I was created in. That's the image you were created in. That's the image that the Holy Spirit of God, according to this passage, is restoring you to, from glory to glory. Little here, a little there, a little, moment by moment, as God renews your mind and transforms you into his image. That's how this thing works. Love's not easily offended. Love doesn't keep records of wrongs. Oh, boy, I tell you what. You remember like 11 years ago? Here you are. You're doing it again. You know what I mean? And it's like, no, uh-uh. What Jesus, when he paid for our sins in full, what does he say? Well, I remember your sins no more. I'm not holding any of your sins against you. Every sin's fresh. We'll deal with it on its own. I'm not like an elephant. I don't have a bunch of memory I'm working out of. But why? Because, you know, I paid for your sins in full. So here's the deal. So guess what I can do? I can forgive like Christ forgave me. And if I forgive like Christ forgave me, I won't remember your sins. I won't keep a record of your wrongs. I won't keep dragging them up and beating you over with them, over the head with them, even though, if I were to survive and to save myself, I would have to. And on and on and on. Love puts up with all things. Jesus puts up with me, therefore I can put up with you. Love believes the best about people. You know, I don't sit here and presume that you're out to get me. I really don't. I actually presume, you know, it's like, I was saying this, I'm running out of time, but I was just saying this one time. It's like we need to see each other as sufferers before sinners. We look at people's behavior and we go, oh, you know, that guy's a sinner. Yeah, but he was suffering before he sinned. And that doesn't mean, and his sin doesn't, his suffering doesn't justify his sin. But it at least lets me have compassion because Jesus had compassion on me. And it believes the best about the person. They didn't wake up this morning trying to ruin my life. You know? Like, there's people trying to ruin my life. It's like, okay, yeah, well, what if you loved them? And what if you believed the best about them? And, you know, and Jesus, of course, believes the best about me. What's the big picture? The big picture is this. Jesus has come into the place where the snakes bite and the lions eat people. And he said, I'm going to be with you. So that when you're afraid, you don't have to survive on your own. When you're afraid, you can trust in me. And when you're wronged, you don't have to get even in order to protect yourself. When you're wronged, you can trust me and you can forgive and keep no records of the wrongs. And here's what he's doing. Guess what was in the garden? We were all okay with each other. So think about this as it relates to the image of God. Think about somebody that you're not in perfect harmony with. In a perfect love relationship with. I don't care who it is. You just feel like something's not right between us. It's usually your spouse, by the way, but like think one person past them. So, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know what? Who do you have to look to fix that? Don't look to your spouse. Well, if God would just straighten her out, everything would be fine. You know, I'd be in perfect peace. No, look to Jesus. And the Spirit of God will conform you to His image from glory to glory, little bit by little bit. And then guess what will happen? You'll have a little more peace. And you'll be a little bit more like you're supposed to be. And you'll be a little bit more conformed to His image, which is the image that you were created in before the fall. And a little more, little by little, we'll be loving, we'll be connecting, and what the world needs now. I know, I even heard, like I was off, you know, that one note, the world, so I was off. I heard it was out of tune. But, I mean, we really do need, and it is true, like, you know, it's like, you know, when the world, Miss Universe pageant, they all say the same thing. What's your greatest desire? World peace. And I mean, world peace, you know. And it's like everybody wants it. You know why? Because you were created for it. That's the image. The peacemaker. The Prince of Peace. He's the guy who you were created after. It's His image. That's why you always long for peace. That's why you always long for love. And that's why if you don't have peace and love in your family, and it's not in harmony, you're not okay, and nothing's okay. So set that right. Get to loving one another, and bring back the peace. Lord, we love you. We're glad that you created us in your image. We're glad that that has so etched into us that your Spirit just points us towards that image in the glorious face of our Lord Jesus Christ, and something about that from glory to glory begins to conform us as we look at the one who is the image of God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you will continue to do these baby step works of restoration so that we will, by the renewing of our mind, be transformed into your image. Here a little, there a little, as it is your will. In Jesus' name, amen.